Well, Lord, we have now come to the time in our service, ready to hear from you. Thank you that you use the weak to lead the strong. Thank you that your word is everlasting. It will not fade. Thank you that it will not leave us questioning, but it will give us the opportunity to know you more fully and love you more deeply and trust you more than we do as we came in today. So may your good and perfect will be done in our life, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, go ahead and be seated, all right? Y'all, I'm not dying. I promise I feel better than I sound, but I'm coming over the side of it. But man, walked away and I realized I didn't even welcome our guest, all right? So if you are a first-time visitor or you are a guest with us this morning, we're so glad you're here. And so as you came in, you should have received a couple things from us. So make sure that you fill this out if you'd like to get connected with us a little bit. And at the end of service, if you want to fill this out, drop it in the offering bag. We'll be sure to connect with you. But let me assure you, we're glad that you're here. If you have a copy of God's Word, let me invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. If you open your Bible to the middle, you'll probably come to Psalm. And if you go to the left, to the right, excuse me, you'll be in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be there in a few minutes. For the last few years, I've led us on the first Sunday of each new year to be thinking about wisdom, specifically the wisdom that we will find ourselves needing for the new year. Admittedly, I can't stand up here and tell you exactly what you or I will face or what will take place in your families or your careers or your health in the days ahead. I can't tell you what verses of scripture that you're going to have to find yourself clinging to and hoping for as you endure another year waiting for our forever home with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't even tell you whether you and me will be sitting here the same way in the same place a year from now. But I do know that with absolute certainty that the way that we will handle whatever comes our way in the coming days and months and the whole year ahead will depend entirely on our proximity to God's wisdom. How near we are to it, how much we are quick to not abandon it, and how quick we remind ourselves of it over and over and over again. The Bible teaches us that if we're simple and we lack wisdom, that we can gain it. God tells us that in life that there'll be two types of people, the wise and the fool. And you'll be able to distinguish them specifically because the fool will be the one who despises the instruction and wisdom of the Lord. He ignores it completely, while the wise turns to it and seeks to understand it and apply it to their life. If you're young, you need wisdom. If you're old, if you're mature, then you've lived long enough to know that you need wisdom where you might lack it. And I will tell you that there's no better comfort in your sorrow, there's no better anchor for your joy, and there's no rest in the unexpected chaos that's going to come on your life this year than the wisdom of God. It will comfort you, it will anchor you, and it will give you rest. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father, the son, in whom he delights. This is the word of the Lord. I love Proverbs for a lot of reasons. You can read one every day of the month because there's 31 Proverbs. So if you struggle with your daily Bible intake, I know many of you probably started your new Bible reading plans. That's great. But sometimes the easiest one to go to is just a proverb a day. I love that Proverbs is written especially simply for guys like me, right? Many like you, right? For people who say, look, I love God. I love his word. I love his law. It's holy and it's perfect. And I want to use it to lead me and lead my family. But I need help. I need help with how to live that out in the day-to-day business of our life. I need help with how does God's transforming love in my life make a difference for my neighbor down the street or with my extended family? Or what about when I'm at work and I have to give good news or I have to give bad news to someone? What about sex and marriage and hard work and bills and raising kids? God has something to say about all of this in the book of Proverbs so that we don't have to go around wondering how we are to live or trying to seek wisdom from the world, but we can see how God's law is lived out with other people. And as God's people, we are supposed to be in community with other people. You know this, that when you isolate yourself, you can still practice God's law, right? But sometimes it's not until you are in a relationship with someone, whether that's your spouse or maybe their family member, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend at school, maybe it's your enemy and someone you don't get along with, that you are now able to exercise God's commands in those relationships. So we are made to be around community so that we can exercise the laws of God with one another. Solomon was the wisest king in all the world. And most of Proverbs is ascribed to him. Now, that could mean that he wrote Proverbs. It could mean that it was written for him or it was written in honor of him. But when you read it, a lot of it comes across like it's a very wise king who has served the Lord and has experienced the blessing of God. And he's telling his kids how to be future kings. Guess what? Dad's going to die one day, all right? And you're going to be the king. And so here's how we can keep the train on the track so that we can keep honoring God and we can be the people that God has called us to be and be a blessing to the nations. Solomon wasn't wise in the world. He was wise because he got his wisdom from God. Early in his reign, if you go back and read in 1st, 2nd Kings, he knew that he was not wise enough to lead people like his father David did. And so he goes to God and he asks for wisdom. God actually comes to him and says, ask me anything that you want and I'll give it to you. And instead of asking for victory over his enemies or for lots of luxury and riches, he asks for wisdom to lead God's people in righteousness. And God is so pleased with his answer that he says, I'm going to not only give you wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things that you didn't ask for as well. Right? And he does become one of the wisest kings in all the world, that other countries come to learn from him and experience who God is. Like, tell us about Yahweh, because your nation, your people are different. Proverbs tells us how to serve the Lord, love his law, practice justice and equity, and keep our covenant with Yahweh. And yet, if you leave today, just hearing the words of Proverbs 3, and you go home and you settle in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to love the law, you're going to practice justice, and you're going to keep the covenant and do everything that Proverbs 3 just told us to do, how long do you think you're going to last? Right? Don't be coy, you know. Right? Some of you are scrappy, right? And so you might try really, really hard. You're going to say, all right, I'm going to not forget the teachings of the Lord. I'm not going to forsake the commandments. I am going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And then you won't. And then you'll forget and you'll neglect. And friends, if you don't have the comfort of the gospel in that moment, then you will feel like a perpetual failure in the eyes of God, and it will keep you from being in fellowship and relationship with him because you'll feel like I'm just a screw up. I've blown it. God told me what to do and I couldn't do it. And so now he doesn't want anything to do with me. And I want you to know that the grace of the gospel to us in another year is that God's wisdom is available to you. But it's not going to be in the try harder, do better, check the box kind of way. Instead, it's going to be in us realizing that the wisdom of God has been given to us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our proximity to Him in a new year that is going to make all the difference for us. Right? Praise the Lord that His wisdom can trump our foolish hearts that are weak. God is the giver of wisdom. Proverbs tells us that He is the fount of it all, that He delights in it. It's His character and His nature to be wise. His wisdom is holy and it's perfect. It's unstained by sin. God's wisdom doesn't start to unravel when challenged by opposing thoughts or ideas in the world. If we turn to God's wisdom, He says that His wisdom will come into our hearts and that it will grow, deepening our love for God and His commands and enabling us to obey. And the ability to obey won't be because we've grit our teeth and tried really hard. It will be because Christ is living in us and His life is being represented in our life. I think it's important for a new year that we remind ourselves that God's commands always flow out of His grace. God's commands always flow out of His grace. Look at verse 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching and keep my commandments." And then there's this, it's tied to a promise that says that you'll have length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. In verse 2, he says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." In verse 5, "Trust in the Lord." In verse 9, "Honor the Lord." That's a lot of commands, of things that we are to do. But you know why forgetting God's teaching is seen as foolishness throughout the Bible? Because how amazing is it that we can know God's teaching and commands in the first place? That it's been revealed to us. That God's power and glory and majesty has been made known to us. That His word has revealed to us all of these things. We can know this morning and every day of 2023 that the High King of Heaven, what He delights in, and we can orient our lives around those truths and bring blessing not only to our own life, but to the other people that God has given us to be a blessing to. The fact that steadfast love and faithfulness is available when there are so many people who are hurting in the world, how amazing is that? What amazing gifts of grace has God given to us? You see, but people do forget. And they attempt in their sin to work things out themselves apart from the wisdom of God. And one of the things I find myself doing a lot is when I'm meeting with people and we're talking about, you know, things going on in their life, doesn't matter what it is, it can be any number of categories. And when they've forsaken God's wisdom, right? One of the quick things I'm going to ask is, yeah, how's that working out for you? Okay? It's a great line to use all year long, right? When someone in your life who you know is being a fool and not walking in wisdom, just ask them, how's that working out for you? Because the truth is that it's not working out for them. And the truth is that things would be working very differently if they would turn from the wisdom of the world, turn from the lies of the world, turn from the sin of our flesh. And if we would turn to God's wisdom, we'd start to see, wow, things are working a little bit differently now. Wow, things seem to be going a different direction. And it's not some magic formula. It's simply turning to God's wisdom instead of our own. It sounds so simple, and yet we have to be reminded of it over and over and over again. If God had never wanted us to be in relationship with Him, He would never have cared how we lived or conducted our lives. If He never wanted to show you His goodness, He wouldn't have given you a single command. But He has given us so many commands, not so that they would be a burden for us, but so that in God's wisdom, the commands would be something we delight in and that we would live our lives in delighting in God. As we come into another year, I want to remind us that the relationship with God's people and God's command goes all the way back to the garden, right? Think about Adam and Eve. When God gives them a very good command meant to protect and guard them and keep their lives flourishing in perfect relationship, remember this? But that command is broken because they rebel against God when they desired to be wise in their own eyes. They had already been given God's command. They knew what it was, right? And the minute that they decided to say, I think there's something better for me that might work better for my life than what God has said for me, that's when the fall happened and sin broke the perfect relationship with God. But what does God do? Are there curses and consequences? Yes. But God's love makes provision through his promises so that the unwise can become wise again to the truth of God despite their sin. God is a God who does this. He takes those who are unwise because of their own foolishness and he makes them wise to his truth despite their sin. Many of you could testify to that in your own life. I know I could. It wasn't when I had everything together that the Lord showed me his wisdom and said, here you go. It was when I was a fool. It was when I had believed the lies of the world. It was when I had forgotten the promises of God that he said, here's my wisdom again. Do you want to taste how good it is? Ah, there you go. This is what you've been missing. It happened again at Mount Sinai with God's people in the wilderness years. God, again, he gives the Hebrew people commands to protect and guard them and keep their lives flourishing in relationship with him. But so, too, are those commands also broken. They're broken quickly and vastly and frequently, generationally even. And what does God do? He practices what he did in the garden the exact same way. In steadfast love and faithfulness, he makes provision through his promises so that the unwise can be wise to the truth of God despite their sin. This happens throughout the Bible story. Anywhere you see that God's people start thinking that they're wiser than his counsel and bring destruction upon themselves, in vain they strive to make attempts to correct or to cover up or to fix their problems, only to have to be reminded of the eternal power and wisdom that belongs to God. He makes the unwise wise to the truth of God, even in their sin. I mean, we could go on all morning. Think of David, who sinned against God when he took another man's wife for himself. Yet because of God's irrevocable promises, he was soon visited by the prophet Nathan and made wise to the truth of God. You, David, you are the man. The unwise was made wise to the truth of God. And David had a broken and contrite heart in response. Think about Paul the apostle, who before his conversion, he was strategically persecuting the church. And he was said to actually have been persecuting Jesus himself by Jesus himself. Remember that? And yet, in order to learn how much he had to suffer for the name of Christ, he was made wise to the truth of God, even in his sin. And through repentance and faith, he knew God's wisdom, and the rest of his journey in life, he walked with God's wisdom. Friends, there's not a single one of us who the Lord Jesus Christ could look at on our own and say, well, you've just been perfectly wise all the time. Good job. You know that's true. None of us qualify for that. We've all fallen short. And if we aren't careful, if the pride in our heart isn't met with this morning, if the gospel is forsaken, even to the tiniest degree, we'll come to passages like Proverbs 3 and we'll make it our I can do it checklist for the new year. And we'll go down the line and we'll say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But I want to point out something very specific to you. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says there, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. This is very much language of the law back in Deuteronomy. Think of Deuteronomy 6 when Moses is speaking to the second generation of the Israelites who will be going into the promised land to conquer. And Deuteronomy 6, he says, so here's the law, and here's what you should do with it. You should write it on your bedpost, and you should talk about it when you wake up and when you go to sleep, and you should tie it around yourself so that you can always remember it, right? The writer in Proverbs is pulling that from the law. The idea of binding God's law around your neck, writing it on the tablet of your heart. But verse 4 says, if you do that, there's a promise here that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. The ESV translates that good success. It's a little odd of a translation. It's better translated, you'll find favor and good reputation or good status in the sight of God and man. Right? That if steadfast love and faithfulness, which are ours through God, if we bind these to ourselves, if we write them on the tablet of our heart, then we'll find favor and good status in the sight of God and man. I wonder if that sounds familiar to us. I want you to flip over to Luke chapter 2. We don't do a lot of flipping from passage to passage, but I want to make a point that I saw this year as I was reading through the gospel and the birth account of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We've just come out, I guess we're still in that season of celebrating the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2. You have the birth of Jesus, you have the shepherds and the angels, you have Jesus being presented at the temple. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 39, this is after Mary and Joseph and Christ have gone to the temple. He's been dedicated according to the law. Remember, we've talked about this, how Simeon rejoiced at being able to see the fulfillment of God's promises. And in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 39, look at this small little part of the gospel narrative that we might breeze by. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, Mary, Joseph, and Christ, to their own town of Nazareth. And when the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and what? The favor of God was upon him. Now, look at what happens next. We fast forward in the life of Jesus to now he's 12 years old. Right? There's a lot of life between birth and 12 years old. Right? And Jesus was a man in the flesh. So he was a toddler, all right, without sin. Oh, what that must have been like. Right? Now we have him as a 12-year-old boy in the temple. And maybe you've heard this story that he's traveling with Mary and Joseph. Right? They are headed back, and where's Jesus? He's not with them, right? It's a classic, another Home Alone time, right? Pass this to Jesus, pass this to Jesus, pass this to Jesus. Jesus isn't here, Jesus isn't here, Jesus isn't here. What? Where is he? He's back at the temple, right? And when they find him, he's been sitting with the teachers in the temple, and he's answering their questions, and they're astonished by the wisdom that this 12-year-old kid has about the law of God. And they're fascinated by it, and they're just so enamored by this boy named Jesus and what he knows about God. And as he is reunited with his parents, look at verse 52 of Luke chapter 2. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. What's this text trying to show us? These two little nuggets in the Gospel of Luke, how are these tied back to Proverbs chapter 3? It's showing us that Jesus lived Proverbs 3 perfectly, without any error or mistake. If it's up to you and to me to live out Proverbs 3 on our own, friends, we're going to fall short. But let's rejoice because Jesus did it. He did it for us. He is one who did not forget the teachings of the Lord. He did not let the commandments of God be lost in his heart. He did not let steadfast love and faithfulness forsake him. He bound them around his neck and he wrote them on the tablet of his heart. He found favor and good favor and in the sight of God and man. He trusted in the Lord with all of his heart, and he didn't lean on his own understanding. In all of his ways, he acknowledged God, and his paths were made straight, even a path that would lead to his death. See, the path for Jesus to walk wasn't crooked. It was straight, and it was given to him by his heavenly Father. And what looks like this horrible scene of death and dying and bloodshed is actually the Lord saying, keep my commands, walk in faithfulness, have favor with me, and I will direct your path. Even if it seems to end in destruction, the glory of the gospel is that destruction is not the end. Glory is the end. But in many times, friends, you have to pass through destruction in order to receive the glory. And so I think it would be foolish and sinful and wrong of me to stand up and tell you 2023 is going to be your best year. Have all the faith in the world that everything that you want is going to happen, that it's going to work out like you want. I don't know what your path will end in, but I do know that no matter what your path ends in, that it's not the end, because God's glory is the end for those who walk in the wisdom of the Lord. And so for all of us, afresh and anew, what we need more than anything in a new year is to walk in the wisdom of the Lord that is given to us in Christ Jesus. That's what Cordell read for us this morning, that the wisdom of God is Christ and that he has been given to us. So we don't have to fret when the world does what the world does. We don't have to worry about how we're going to answer when the world comes up with a new way to be stupid and we have to figure out how to love them. God will give us the wisdom to do it, right? If we stay tethered to the love of Christ and we allow his life to be our life, that we live our life in the shape of Jesus, and allow his life to be a blessing in you, through you, to anyone and everyone you encounter in the new year. You and I cannot check off a single thing in Proverbs 3 in our own strength, but in Christ we can. Friends, there will be times in the year ahead that you, yes, even you, man, woman of God who love the Lord, there will be times that you will not be wise. And it doesn't mean that you don't love God. And it doesn't mean that you're without hope and that he's done with you. But let it be a reminder that there is one who is perfectly wise, who took on the punishment of sin as if he was a perpetual fool. Think about that. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. I say it almost every time I'm up here because I want you guys to see and realize that Jesus Christ, who lived out Proverbs 3 perfectly in every single way, died a death as if he despised it and hated it and mocked it and thought that it was foolishness, so that you and I might enter into the grace of relationship with him. Not by boasting about how good we are or about how wise we are or how we worked our way through good works into the kingdom, but because Jesus Christ, the perfect wise one, was crucified on a Roman cross as if he hated God's word. And yet you and I know he loved God's word perfectly, because every single one of us in our flesh, had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ, hated God's word and treated it like it was foolishness and didn't really care about it. But when his love became known to us, we got an appetite for it. And we needed more of it and more of it, more of it. And we started listening less to the world and we started listening more to the people who were talking like God talks. Can I tell you, you want a good thing to do this year, surround yourself with people who talk like God. Surround yourself with people who will remind you of the way of the kingdom. Surround yourself with people who will say, that sounds like the way of the world. This sounds like the way of Jesus. Let's do that. And sometimes you'll be thankful that you hear it. Sometimes in the moment, you won't be thankful that you hear it. But because God's grace is sufficient, he'll change your mind eventually. And you'll realize that God sent that person into your life to tell you what you needed to hear. It's how much he loves you. He's willing to rub you the wrong way in order for his wisdom to be known to you. Because he takes the unwise and he shows them the wisdom of God, even in their sin. This would have been impossible without Jesus dying on the cross in our place. So as the band starts to make their way up, year after year, we will use the start of a new year to make our resolutions and our goals and our intentions, and we start thinking about ourselves, and those are fine. In fact, I think that you should be goal-oriented. Please strive for excellence and form habits and be disciplined. Those are good things that can actually help you. But listen to me this morning, that none of those things can be a savior to you. Every good intention, every resolution, every habit that you want to start today is only able to make you wise in your own eyes if it's not tied to the wisdom of God to us in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to rescue your life from an eternity experiencing God's wrath just so that you could have a better disciplined life. That's good, right? But that's not the goal. The goal is to dwell in holiness and righteousness with lives transformed from the inside out. And it's God's wisdom that comes into our life and begins that good work. The Lord Jesus came as the wisdom of God to bring you new life so that every promise of Proverbs 3 wouldn't just be this unattainable goal. I don't want you to read Proverbs 3 later today or tomorrow and say, well, Pastor Ryan said I can't do any of this, so oh well. No. Because yes, at one point, no, we couldn't do anything about it. But let me ask you, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not dead this morning, but he is alive and sitting on his throne and he could come back at any moment, and he told us in one of his many great promises that he is leaving to go and prepare a place for us, and he's going to come back, but he's not going to leave us alone. And he left us the Holy Spirit to come live in our mind and in our heart so that all that is Jesus, all that it means to love God faithfully with steadfast love and faithfulness can be realized in our life right now. That we don't have to wait for eternity to start living in the promises of God. They are yours in Christ today. And my hope for us in another new year is that we don't settle for better that the world tries to give when we have the promises of God to us in Christ Jesus. There's nothing better for you this year. His life is the wisdom that some of you are searching for. His life is the answer that some of you keep denying that this is what you actually need. His life is the one that you keep saying, one day I'll pick it up, one day I'll pick it up, one day I'll pick it up. Friend, pick it up today because you don't know if tomorrow will be too late. But today God's wisdom is available for you. And I'm pleading with you as your friend, as a pastor, as a fellow brother in Christ to pick up the wisdom of God. It won't disappoint you. And you don't have to know all the wisdom of God to pick it up. You have to have a heart that's willing to learn. You know why wisdom's the pride killer? Because in order to gain wisdom, you have to admit you don't have it. And so you're in good company if you say, hey, I'm lacking some wisdom of God. He's ready to give it. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, with your time of response this morning, would you just think about what is your confidence for another year? Have you foolishly tried to already make your confidence in your own ability, and trying harder, being better, living your life in a series of obligations and best intentions? Our only confidence is in the Lord Jesus. So right there in the stillness of your heart, would you just say, Lord, show me where I'm lacking wisdom and give it to me. Maybe that's in a relationship. Maybe it's with your spouse. Maybe it's with a friend, somebody at work. Maybe it's with a decision that you need to make in your life right now, and you're lacking wisdom. Would you ask Him to lead you, to guide you? Maybe the wisdom that you need is that you need to repent and just turn afresh and anew to the Lord. There aren't 10 steps to receiving the wisdom of God. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that we would be saved. Saved from what? His wrath, His punishment, the worthy punishment of disobeying God, of forsaking His wisdom. Today, with fresh hearts set ablaze with the glory of God, we can say, Lord, we want Your wisdom. And maybe the wisdom you need in the new year is that you need somebody to walk alongside you in life. You need a trusted brother or sister in the Lord that you pray with regularly, that you are sharing your heart and your burdens with. Maybe you need to surround yourself with wise friends. Lord Jesus, we love You. And we thank You that we can come together on a day like today and talk about the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, because the gospel has been made known to us. And Lord, we want nothing more than to drink from the well of Your grace this morning. That we would be people who trust in You with all of our heart, because we have new hearts given to us by Jesus and made alive through His Spirit in us. Father, thank You that we don't have to waste another day of another year trying to earn Your grace, earn an entry into Your presence. But Jesus Christ says, I bring you in. And so may our year be marked with proximity to wisdom. May 2023 be the year that Your people in this room walk closer in wisdom than ever before. May we sit this same time next year, blown away at how Your wisdom has worked in our life. Give us eyes to see it and ears to hear it. Help us not to forsake Your teachings and Your commands. May we rely on the Lord Jesus to obey You faithfully.